The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
As we began to learn yesterday, the worship of God should focus upon simplicity. When we got to church on this particular Sunday morning, the electricity was off and we had no power. But that did not affect us, because as Primitive Baptists, we don't need man-made power for our worship services. All we need is the divine power of the Holy Spirit. We have a simple form of worship, preaching a simple message that Jesus saved his people from their sins. And praise his name, our eschatology teaches us that he is simply coming back to get us one day. Join us today as we continue to focus on the simplicity that is in Christ.
Brethren, we are meant to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you reign with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down.
But you know, it's also a simple message. The simplicity that is in Christ involves a simple message. Somebody asked me one time, what should we tell people when they ask us, Brother Chris, what do y'all believe down there at Zion Primitive Baptist Church? And you know, it all depends. If you got plenty of time, we can sit down and spend an hour or two talking about different things. But if all you got is just a quick moment, then one of the best places to go is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21.
You know, that's the account there of the birth of Jesus. We're told in verse 18, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He was a good man. He wasn't going to make a big deal out of it. He was just going to put her away because he thought she had gotten pregnant outside of wedlock. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So much preaching I could do on that this morning, but we're not going to go down that trail for now because we would spend the rest of the time on it. Just understand, he was not a man like other men. He was fully man, but he was conceived through a miraculous act of the Holy Ghost. And he was fully man and yet fully God. Okay? Now listen to this, verse 21. This sums up what we believe here at Zion Church. And she shall bring forth a son. And most people agree with us on that. We all agree that she did. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And that's what most of the Christian religious world believes. But look at the rest of this verse. For he shall save his people from their sins. Beloved, we believe that Jesus Christ came. That's the simple message of the gospel. Jesus Christ came into this world to save his people from their sins. And if you turn at some point over to John chapter 19, when he's hanging there on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, he cries out with a loud voice, "It is finished." Beloved, he finished that work. He came and saved his people from their sins. The gospel message is not about how dead sinners get saved. It's about how they have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and your heart has been pricked, and you see yourself as a sinner, beloved, there's not other steps that you need to take in order to get saved. Beloved, that's the evidence you have been saved. What you need to do at this point is embrace the gospel message and rest in that gospel message. I read over in Romans chapter 10 about some people over there that were struggling with that. Brethren, Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Remember what we said. There's two different types of salvation taught in the Word of God. There's eternal salvation that's solely in the hands of God, but there's a timely salvation that you and I can be saved from things in this world. We can be saved from drunkenness by not drinking. We can be saved from drug addiction by not doing drugs. We can be saved from marriages breaking up by not committing adultery or by being godly in the way that we live. But beloved, that's a different type of salvation. You just have to look to Peter as he's walking on the water, and you know that there's at least two types of salvation taught. When he started sinking in the waves, he said, "Lord, save me." Well, if save always means save me eternally, then Peter ought to have just sunk on down in the waves. He'd have drowned and gone on to heaven. He'd have been saved. But that's a different type of salvation. And that's the salvation, that's a different type of salvation spoken of here. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Anytime you see the word saved, you need to ask, saved from what? "For I bear them record," listen to this, "that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Now, there's something real important we need to notice there. And you only find it in, I think, only the King James Bible, or maybe the New King James, translates it correctly, which, if you go back to Greek, that is the genitive case where it's talking about the zeal there of God. It's not just a zeal for God. It's a zeal of God. God has given them that zeal, you see. This is a people whose hearts have been regenerated. This is a people whose hearts have been pricked. They hadn't been cut to the heart. They've been pricked in the heart, you see. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Did you know that's what the purpose of the gospel is to impart knowledge to one who's already been regenerated? The gospel doesn't regenerate. We're told about how regeneration occurs back over in John chapter 3. Keep your finger there in Romans 8, but or 10. But in John chapter 3, he tells Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, verse 3, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Beloved, you can't see the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man, that's the one who's never been born again, only been born once in nature. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. The gospel is the greatest thing of the Spirit of God I know. The words that Christ speaks are spirit, beloved. And if you've not been regenerated, you're not interested. You know, I've used this so many times, you're probably tired of hearing it, but it's like right now as we stand here, there's radio waves and television waves and satellite waves passing through this church. There's all kinds of things that we can't see going on. But the reason we can't hear them or see them is because we don't have a receiver. You know, I've got a phone here that's a receiver, right? I could open it up and get to a certain wavelength and I could hear what's passing through the church. Beloved, we don't have receivers for that. And beloved, if you don't have a receiver, if you haven't been born again, that's how that receiver is turned on, if you will, in your heart. If you haven't been born again, you don't have a receiver to even receive the gospel of the kingdom of the grace of God. He said, you can't see the kingdom of God if you haven't been born again. And then he says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You don't leap from flesh to spirit. You have to be born again. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. That's how the new birth occurs. It's just like the wind that came through last night. Now, when you tell me you can stop the wind, or you can direct the wind, or you can cause the wind to cease, then I'll agree with you that you and I can do something either to get born again or to help somebody else to get born again. But beloved, the wind, the new birth is like the wind. It blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh or where it came from and where it's going to. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. So these people back in Romans chapter 10 that have a zeal of God are people that have been born again, because they wouldn't have that zeal if they didn't have a new heart. But here it says they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. They just don't know. And that's something I always tell us. I always want to remind you, there's so many of God's children out there that just don't know what happened to make them God's children. They just don't know. There's no need to get mad at them. They just don't know. And sometimes you may talk to somebody and they get a little agitated or frustrated because they have never heard the truths of God's election and His grace, His sovereign grace. But beloved, just be patient, because listen, you don't know it all either. You don't know it all either. And I let you in a little secret, Brother Glenn, I don't either. I don't either. He says, it's not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. What's God's righteousness? It's the righteousness that's in Christ. And going about to establish their own righteousness. There's so many people out there trying to work their way to heaven. I feel so sorry. My heart hurts for the God's children that are out there struggling. So, well, there's going to be a judgment one day, and I just hope I've done enough good works to outweigh my bad. Beloved, I got the answer for you already. You hadn't. You hadn't. I'm sorry. If that's what your hope is in, you don't have any hope, beloved. I know. You know why I know? Because I know me. I know me, and I know that I have no hope if it's based upon my works. If there's going to be a judgment someday where the Lord weighs out what good I've done versus what bad I've done, the bad's always going to outweigh the good. But beloved, my hope is in the righteousness of Christ, in the righteousness of the one who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, the one who always did all things well, the one who took my sins to the cross and put them away forever, cast them behind Him in the depths of the ocean as far as the east is from the west. You ever thought about that? You know, I'm glad He didn't say as far as the north is from the south, because if you go north far enough, you'll get to the North Pole and then you'll be going south. There's a place where north and south meet. There's no place where east and west meet. If you start going east and you keep going east, you'll never be going west. You'll never meet west. Praise God for that. He said, they going about, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Praise God. Christ is the end of the law. He didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law to a jot and to a tittle. He fulfilled it completely to every point that there might be ever brought up against you. It was nailed to His cross. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. You want to be under the law? Here's what you got to do. The man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, if you want to be under law service, then you better keep it. You better keep the law. James says if you offend in one point, you keep everything else, but you offend in one point, then you're a lawbreaker. Say, I never killed anybody, preacher. I never robbed a bank. Did you drive a little fast getting to church this morning? I'm not going to confess to you up here, but did I? Maybe. Have I broken that law? I've never struck anybody when I've been traveling, but oh, I wanted to. I wanted to get in that traffic. Something happened this past week and a half ago, I think. Somebody just got over in front of me and took, I didn't ram them with the car and I didn't jump out and curse them out, but boy, I wanted to. And the Lord looks on the heart, see. So maybe outwardly you're like that rich young ruler. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus was not telling him what he's got to do. I love how Jesus did. He answered the man according to his way of thinking. He knew what the man was thinking. He came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now think about what Jesus said. You know the law. Keep it. Just thou shalt not kill. No, he named it. Keep it. Well, the man already was, he said, I've kept all this from my youth up. Well, then why is he coming to Jesus? Why isn't he satisfied? Because he's still not satisfied. And beloved, if you're trying to keep the law to get to heaven, you won't be either. Now listen, we ought to keep the law. We ought to do right. Those Ten Commandments mean something. We ought to love the Lord our God with all our heart. We ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. But beloved, I'm telling you, you'll never be able to keep it to your satisfaction when it comes to your eternal security. It just won't work. These men had been going around trying to establish their own righteousness, and Moses said, okay, you're going to do that? Then keep them. That's the only way. Verse 6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. You don't have to claw your way up to heaven. Christ has come down, you see. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. We don't have to help Christ. He died. He was crucified and he was buried. We don't have to go down and help him get resurrected, you see. He said, but what saith it? This is the righteousness of faith here. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So everybody's got a little faith. Everybody's got a little flame you can fan. And all. I read over in 1 Thessalonians that all men have not faith. And I read further over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit doesn't bear the tree. The tree bears the fruit. If you've got faith in your heart, it's because you have the Spirit of God in you. You have been born of the Spirit. He said, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. You've already got that word. If you've been born again, if you're feeling the effects of that new birth, which is the first thing you'll know is that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I've told you so many times, it doesn't even hardly bear repeating, but every time we see the word saved, we have to ask, saved from what? If I ran in here and, told John Morgan and Meredith, came in with Cal or Maggie and said, hey, I just saved them. The first question they'd ask, well, saved from what? Drowning, getting run over by a car, getting bit by a rattlesnake, what? We got to ask what. So what's saved from what? Remember right back, context is everything. Remember what he said. These people have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Beloved, they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They need to be saved. Children of God need to be saved from the ignorance of God's righteousness, from being ignorant of his righteousness. That's not a pejorative term. That's just saying they don't know. They don't understand what's happened to them. There was a man who was made to leap and to walk, and over in the later on in the book of Acts, and they kept trying to, or it's in the book of John, I believe it is, over there. He was made to see, and that man who was made to see by Jesus over in the book of John, the Pharisee says, "Well, who is he?" He said, I didn't know his name." And they said, "Well, he's a sinner." He said, "Well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I know this: I was blind and now I see." Later on, he learned who he was, but he was already made to see. He'd already been cured of his blindness. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Praise God for that. And he goes on to say, "There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Beloved, there is a salvation in calling upon the name of the Lord. It's not eternal salvation. That had to be accomplished on the cross by Christ. It's not getting yourself born again because you wouldn't call upon him in faith if you hadn't already gotten the Spirit of God through the new birth. But there is a salvation, child of God, in you and I calling upon him. And I implore you this morning, we should be calling upon the name of the Lord. We should be resting in his righteousness and in his finished work. Praise God for the finished work of Christ. And that's the simple message of the gospel. The message isn't complicated. Oh, you got to go out here and do these works or make this decision or pray this prayer in order to become born again. And then you got to hang on or hold on or let go or pray through or somehow live your life in a way that's more righteous than not in order to stay saved. Beloved, there's no man can pluck you out of the hand of God. Simple message. And finally, as we close, I just want to tell you, he's simply returning one day. He's simply coming back. There is a long, complicated list of things out there in the world that so many people say has to happen before the Lord comes back. There's teachings about 1,000 years here or some temple being rebuilt there. But beloved, let me just tell you, Don't be worried about it. Don't be afflicted by that. God didn't give us simplicity in Christ to then turn around and make his returning so complicated that only a theologian who's been trained can understand it. You want to know what's going to happen one day? Well, here's what's going to happen in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we close. He says down in verse 22, "For as in Adam all die," speaking here of the resurrection, "even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming." Now look at verse 24. "Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." I don't read about a kingdom coming down. I read about him delivering the kingdom up. He's going to take us home to be with him. And over in verse 51, he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You don't need to be scared about the end times. You don't need to be nervous about what's coming. He's coming back. That's what he said in John chapter 14. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's the simple message of the end times. He's coming back to take us home. And verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15 tells us how we ought to act in the meantime. Therefore, based on all this simple message that we talked about this morning, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You say, preacher, I guess if I'm saved eternally, and it just doesn't matter how I live anymore, does it? Oh, it matters. It matters. It doesn't carry eternal consequences, but it will carry so many deadly consequences here. If you have a question about that when we get to heaven, ask David the king. Ask Lot if his decisions here had an impact upon him. They're in heaven, and I look forward to being there myself. But in the meantime, I look forward to the sweet by and by. But in the meantime, I have to live in the nasty here and now. And we need the Word of God to sustain us. We need this simple message. We need this simple worship. We need the simple fact that He's coming back to take us home. Could be today. We need Him. We need that assurance as we go about this sin-cursed world. I appreciate your kind attention this morning.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.